those that are hanging with me, go to Revelation chapter 1.
Started to say Genesis chapter 1.
Somehow I think we left that a long time ago. Well, good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. We didn't get very far. A little bit of introduction. And down to about verse 6. So we won't just stand up and read the whole chapter. But I'll read a few verses. Chapter 1, verse 4. John, to the seven churches, be unto you and grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful book you placed in our hands. And we ask you, Lord, to bless it to each of us. Let us draw strength from it. Let us draw understanding, peace down in our heart, and an expectation of that which is to come. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Basically, we got a little bit of an introduction to this wonderful book. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ that he gave to John to reveal himself. What you're seeing here with the revelation of Jesus Christ, you ought to pay attention to. That's the future. Now, Genesis, we had all the beginnings. We come to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. You're going to get all the endings. Things are going to be tied up. Things that were begun and started the very first time in Genesis will be finished before we get through with the book of Revelation. It's an amazing thing. I explained to you three views on the millennial reign of Christ. Now, the millennium is a thousand-year reign on the face of the earth by Jesus Christ over you're right. First time in your life. There's premillennial, and there's postmillennial and amillennial, and all of this has to do with something that's spoken of in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. In chapter 19, Jesus comes back with all his blood-washed saints, and he conquers the world and sets up a kingdom. Chapter 20 shows us this thousand-year reign of Christ, its beginning and its end. And all of the lost dead are raised beginning before the millennium, and all of the lost dead are raised at the end of the millennium and judged. And so this is 1,000-year period, but it makes a whole lot of difference on how you look at the book and how you look at so many different things in the Bible, the way you look at it. And I believe I showed you that premillennial is Christ is coming back before the millennium ever takes place. Now, postmillennial means that the church is going to bring in the millennium by converting the world. And so then Christ will come back after we've converted the world. Well, there are not many of them left. Not many. But there were a bunch, and some of them, you can go back to some of your old commentators, and you'll find they were post-millennium, you know, when you look at what they said. But our millennial is the majority of people today. I'm not saying Catholics are amillennial. Many Baptists are amillennial. Presbyterians and Methodists are amillennial. There's an awful lot. And ah is in the Greek, means no. No millennium. And they have an idea that this took place during the time of Nero. And that this was symbolic language to offer comfort. Now, I've read this book more than I've read any other book in the Bible. And I don't know what comfort that would give me if I were suffering under Nero. I don't think I could get any or find any comfort in it if I was suffering under Nero. That just does not make sense at all. And when you go just go over, look at chapter 19, Christ comes back, conquers earth. Chapter 20, you have the millennial reign of Christ. And chapter 21, you got new heaven and new earth. So it's just in the order of the events. So I am a premillennialist. Now, there are so many different views and attitudes even among premillennialists. And so you look at your Bible, see what it says. I think the safest way I have found to interpret the Bible is to look at what it says, not what you think it says. You can get yourself in a great big knot when you think you know what it says. You're going to change what it's saying. Don't change the words. If you can't understand it with the words they are, define them, read them, go for them. And by the way, the Bible defines itself all the time. If you will read the Bible through, you're going to find the answer back over here that you had a question on back here. And they work together. And the problem with most people is they don't read the whole Bible. They don't read it enough. They might have read it one time or two times, and they don't understand what they're talking about, and they get themselves in all sorts of trouble. So there's the three different views now. And basically today it's premillennial and amillennial. And the great majority of the supposed Christian world, all of them are amillennialists. They don't believe. In fact, they don't have much to do with the book of Revelation. They don't have much to do with it. Now, I was taught it, amillennial, in college, at a Southern Baptist college. And for the life of me, I could not understand where the man got anything he said. It was just, he didn't believe the Bible. He didn't believe what he was reading. He had to change it to make it something else. Let the Bible speak for itself, and you will get your definition and your explanation somewhere down the line. And if you studied enough, you'll say, wow, I didn't know it had all that in it. But that's the truth. Now, he gave us this revelation, and by the way, it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, he cometh with clouds, every eye shall see him, even also which pierced him. All kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. It's talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said, every eye shall see him, even those that pierced him. So I don't understand all that could mean, but that could mean people in hell and people in heaven and people all over the earth. I don't know how it can work out sometimes, but I'll tell you what it says. They're going to see him. And it says, and if you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, when we talk of the rapture, this is what I'm talking about. Now, I think there are going to be several raptures. I think there's going to be a couple of raptures of Jews, but this right here in 1 Thessalonians is going to be the rapture of the church. If it happened today, I'd be glad to go in it. I'd be looking forward to it. Listen to this. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. How about that? Is that a comfort to you? It is to me. The idea that I could just be walking along and all of a sudden, wow, come on up. Hear a shout. That would be something, wouldn't it? Wow. That's what he's talking about. Now, rapture is being caught up without going through death and burial and all of that. You're just being caught up. And you have several times in the Gospels that it talks about a rapture, and it's a Jewish rapture, talking about a man being in a field and whatever. That's not the same as this, because we're looking here at born-again believers. And in a lot of cases, that other over there, it would be Jews, and it would not be like the Gentile church, such as we are. But the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain, be caught up together. So that's a comfort. Comfort one another with these words. Now, verse 6 is where we stopped. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let me go back another verse. No, two verses. Beginning verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. I want you to understand, if the church was as we sometimes see it today, that would not have been written that way. It would have been written, John to the Pope in Rome to tell the church. Or John to the Methodist bishop in Austin, and he would spread the information on. Notice what it says here, to the seven churches. Seven churches. Now, have you ever seen a picture of a candelabra or a lampstand that was in the Jewish temple? Well, it's one stand, and then it goes up seven times, and there are lamps or candles on top of that. Now, that's the Jewish attitude. That's the Jewish teaching. This right here is a little different than that. Seven churches which are in Asia. Not just the church in Asia. Seven churches in Asia. These are independent, fundamental, separate, self-determined churches. It's not a denomination. It's not a whole group of everybody doing everything exactly right. No. Each church had its elders, had its pastors, plural. And they did what they did. They made the decisions for them. So you notice when he's got this message that he's bringing here to them, he didn't just say to the church. He said to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now, grace and peace. Paul always deals with grace and peace in his letters, doesn't he? Well, here's John. Grace and peace. Wow. From him, now notice this terminology, which is, which was, and which is to come. Now let me ask you something. What part of God ever was? Just Jesus. He died. He was. And he was resurrected again. So, it's an interesting thought. He is, he was, and he is to come. And then it says, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now, this seven spirits, the only way I can understand it, and you're welcome to disagree with me on it, but I consider that the Holy Spirit. Seven is completeness, wholeness, divine number. And so I think that's the Holy Spirit of God. So from Jesus, The message is coming from Jesus, and he describes himself in various ways in here. And then from the seven spirits from before his throne. And then verse 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Whoa. I've been washed. You've been washed? That's one of the things you rejoice in every day. You rejoice in, I have been washed. Now some of you don't count that to be worth very much. And you don't count your commitment to Jesus Christ to be worth very much. But it is. That's the only thing that really matters. When you come down to the end of life, it's not going to matter how many boats you owned. It's not going to matter what kind of pickup you drove. It's not going to matter where the drapes were bought from that you have in your living room. It's the only thing that's going to matter is that you and your family have a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes a difference. I'm an old man now. My family's grown. Good night. I don't know whether I'm on my third or my fourth generation that are running around my knees now. But I tell you what, it's a blessing. And how about a blessing that the family loves each other? How about a blessing that the family puts up with each other? You know, we're not all perfect people like me. We got a bunch of problems, man. They're just my kids, you know. No, we put up with each other and we forgive each other and we tease each other and we do things for each other. And you know why? Because God saved my soul and changed my life and gave me a Christian home. And then we put it into the Bible and we put that Bible into those kids. Wow. From Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness? Who's the faithful witness? Jesus Christ. You want a faithful witness? Take the Word of God. You'll get a faithful witness. You got your idea? Your idea isn't worth spit. I got my ideas, and my ideas are so smart. You're like the Bible talks about. You're so smart, you're smarter than seven men who can render a reason. You don't even have a reason. You can't even give a decent reason for your idiocy. And like one old lady told me one time when I was a little bit younger, she said, I don't know what you have to be proud about. I thought that was one of the best put downs I ever had in my life. She did me a real job, you know. I don't know what you got to be proud about. Well, you don't have to have anything to be proud about to be proud. You can be an absolute idiot and be proud. Amen? All right. The faithful witness. Hey, look at here. First begotten of the dead. He's got a new body. One like I want. This one's wearing out. I want that 33 and a half year old body that's never going to wear out. I want to be fully mature and grown. I don't want to go all the way to 40 so I have to retire from playing football or whatever, you know. That 33 and a half year old body, wow, man, forever? Never get sick? Wow. I'm looking forward to that. That's one of the things I am looking forward to. I am going to have a body that's never going to hurt. I don't think it's going to get tired. Wow. Not sick, not painful, not growing old and weary, not a used to wuzzer. I used to build fence, I don't anymore. I'm looking forward to that. Okay, faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, prince of the kings of the earth, loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Kings and priests. How do you get any better than that? I just don't know. Kings and priests. A king, wouldn't you like to be a king? And most people think they ought to be their boss of their own business till they get their own business. And they realize they traded one boss for 100. That's the truth. You work for the other fella. I tell you what you're doing. You got a lot more bosses. Everybody that you sign a contract with, they're your boss. They might give you a nice little lawsuit. Kings and priests. Wow. Praise God. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. And says to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now you ought to be praising God every day. Amen. I remember the song that the evangelist sang on the last meeting. And I don't remember all of it. I just remember that verse after verse after verse, he repeated how blessed I am. That blessed my heart. I am blessed. And I thank God every day because I'm being blessed. I have been blessed. I look at when I was born, when I grew up, the people that I came up with, the church that I've got, you, the wife that I had, the kids that I have, the parents that I had, the relatives that I had. Wow, goodness gracious. And then to be an American and a Texan to boot, the head of America. That's the best in the Americas, Texas. Amen?
Amen.
With an LBJ hat. I'll wear my LBJ hat for you one of these days. Yes, sir. Kings and priests. Wow. Now look what it says here. He cometh with clouds. Do you remember when he went away? You remember in the book of Acts when he went away? He went up into the clouds. He went up into the clouds. Well, that's what it said he's coming with. He's coming back in the clouds. He's going to come out of the sky. Okay. Every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him. Now, you might say, well, that's just talking about Romans. I don't know. That's not exactly what it says. If you let it say what it says, every eye that pierced him, wow. How's God going to do it? I don't know. I don't even understand television. I watch it every day. I get the news on it. I do other things and whatever. I don't understand computers. And some of you, you're into the Twitter and the all sorts of stuff, and you got 100 pictures going out of your house every day, most of them selfies. And you know, I don't even know how to get on the thing. And I wouldn't send the picture of this to any of you. Yeah, you're welcome. Every eye shall see him. When Jesus comes back, it's going to be a dramatic event. The whole world's going to see it and know and fear. In fact, as we begin to read and study through this book of Revelation, get over there in the middle of it, you're going to find they're hunting for caves. Anything that can hide them from the face of the Lamb, who isn't acting like a lamb anymore. He's acting like a lion. Did you know there's a difference between a lamb and a lion? Now, some of you got these little Chihuahua dogs. I hate Chihuahua dogs. I've been bitten more by Chihuahuas than any other dog alive. For 60 years, I've been visiting people. And I would walk up. I had big old German shepherds, and I'd stick my hand down. I'd say, preachers don't taste good. And back them right on up to the front door. The little Chihuahua, it'll let me come by and come back and bite my heel. Make me mad. Tell you what. I don't know what I was getting there. Oh, yeah. But Jesus is coming as a lion. And what you see here in just a few minutes is not a lamb. Isn't it a wonderful thing? The Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Anybody been bitten by a lamb lately? Now, they can do it. They can actually bite you. But they don't much. They don't fight that way. They butt you. They take those horns and see you bending over. When I was a little boy, I had a little goat. My mom and dad thought that was going to be such a great little thing until it just busted my butt all over the farm. So they finally decided to give my little goat away. But let me tell you what. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay. Look at verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. Now there again is that phrase, which is, which was, which is to come. I think that has to be a phrase of the Son of God, because he died, therefore he is, and then he was, and he's going to come again. Wonderful thought. Now look at verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. You know what this man could have said right here? He's about 96 years old. He's went through hell on earth. He has been troubled, beaten, abused, exiled, and at the present time, as a 96-year-old man, he's exiled to an island in the sea and can't get off of it because of preaching the Word of God. You know what he called himself? Companion. Brother. He didn't say, I'm the last living apostle and I've got the last message to finish up the Word of God. He did. Wow. I mean, what this man wrote has been read over and over and over and over and over again. It's some of the most interesting writing there is in the world. He said, I am your brother. He's a humble man. He didn't say, I am the Pope, the first living Pope. No, no, no. I am the head pastor. You're just laity. No, 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 no. He said, I, John, who am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience. Why do I put patience in there? Well, it hadn't happened yet, has it? A lot of things we're going to read about are yet to come. They haven't happened. Patience. You're going to need some patience to get the Word of God. You're going to need some patience to finally get into a place where the will of God. You're going to need some patience for things to work out in your marriage and with your kids. My daddy's advice to me was when I had two young men that were teenagers, he said, just keep talking to them. Don't quit talking to them. Just keep talking to them. And that's the advice I'd give you. It's good advice. Keep the communication open. He said, I'm your brother, your companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. I was in the isle called Patmos. Why was he there? For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because he's an old preacher. He wouldn't shut up. That's the way Paul was. He won, I don't know how many people of Caesar's household, being a prisoner. How about that? I know I've told you about that German fella, German minister. The only people he had to preach to and witness to were the guards. The Nazis decided they better change the guards pretty often on this guy because he's converting them. He had an influence. He had a power. Well, here's Paul did the same thing. And here's John. So they took him and put him on Patmos. Well, why? It was like Elba for Napoleon. He's out there. You don't have to put a chain on him. He's not going to swim several hundred miles, you know. And so it makes a very good prison. He has to take care of himself, fed, take care of his living, sleep, and whatever. But he's not a problem. So they used the Isle of Patmos right here for the Apostle John to stop his testifying of the grace of God by Jesus Christ. And then he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the Lord's Day is Sunday. Now, I think the Sabbath is not the Lord's Day, but the Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's when he rose again from the dead. But anyway, it says, I was in the Spirit, and it's capitalized Spirit, so the translators, at least, they believe this was the Holy Spirit. Not that he had a spiritual day on that given Sunday, but that he was in the Spirit. He was moved upon by the Holy Spirit of God on this particular Sunday day. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. You ought to study trumpets. There's a pretty good study for you. Just take your concordance and start looking up every time it's Trump. Now, I'm not talking about the president. I'm talking about the Bible. Especially here in Revelation, study trumpets. You know, when I was a soldier, they taught me trumpet calls. Not that I tootled the horn. I never tootled the horn. I'm not musical at all. But they got a trumpet call to get up. They got a trumpet call to go to bed. They got a trumpet call to charge. They got a trumpet call to reverse, come back. They got trumpet calls for a whole lot of things. Trumpets give messages a long distance away before they had any phones or anything like that to handle them. Without having to send a messenger, all I got to do is toot my horn in a certain way, and those soldiers out there would hear how that trumpet said, and they would respond to it. Well, that's what he's saying here. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. It's not a trumpet he heard. But have you ever noticed a trumpet gets your attention? You ever been to a funeral of a soldier lately and had a trumpeter there? It gets your attention. Just like firing off those 21 shells. 3 7s. Bang, bang, bang. It gets your attention. Well, the trumpet gets your attention. Well, now he's got a voice behind him like a trumpet. You ever been ever snuck up on and somebody yell in your ear? That's what this sounds like, doesn't it? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Man, he must have been feeling good. Heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And what does the voice say? Look at verse 11. I am Alpha and Omega. The first and the last. That's the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So that's A to Z. I am A and I am Z. And by the way, he's everything in between. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Okay, here we are. We got the seven churches again. That number seven is going to come up in this book so many times. You're going to realize it's the number of finishing. It's a number of completeness. God's got some special things to do with the number seven. But he's talking about seven different churches, not one church, in seven locations. He's talking about seven churches. It's individual churches. Okay. Now he lists the names of them. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. There's your seven. Now that's a little semicircle over there in Turkey. I have no idea what is still standing in that area. I have no idea what you could go there and find and see. And to tell you the truth, I'm not going there until the millennial reign. During the millennial reign, if I'm still interested, I might go over there and look and see for some things. But I'm not going till then. Those people are crazy. They're fighting all the time. Man, it's a bloodbath here and there, and wickedness is just, this is really terrible. At any rate, verse 12, I love this verse. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks or lampstands. In the midst, seven candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance as the sun shineth in his street. In verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. What would you have done? You'd have done the same thing. I tell you what, I used to think, I'm going to go up there, I'm going to ask the Lord, hey, Lord. No, I'm not going to. When I see him, I'm going to do just what John did. Just fall flat on my face as if I were dead. Wow. Something else. I fell at his feet. All right, look at these things we're talking about here. Now, Jesus was a working man. He was a carpenter. What kind of pants did they wear in Jesus' day? Working men. They didn't wear pants. Pants are a real modern invention. They really are. Men wore robes and women wore robes. Now, there was a difference between a man's robe and a woman's robe. That's true. You could tell the difference. But they all wore robes. Now, let me ask you something else. If you are digging ditches or you're plowing in a field, where would you put your belt? At your waist. But suppose you're the king or the priest. Where would your belt go? Right up here. Your garment would go all the way down to the floor. It'd be regal. He's got a golden belt around the paps. He's not a carpenter. He's not a shepherd. He's a priest who's going to judge. He's a king. King of kings. Lord of lords. Wow, I tell you what, when you get to reading this book, it is not gentle, loving Jesus anymore. Get that out of Matthew. Get that out of Luke. Get this clear salvation out of anything written by Paul. But wow, man. You take a look at the book of Revelation, at Jesus Christ, you're going to get a new picture. You're going to see him in a different way. He is now a conquering king. He is now the high priest. He is the judge. And he's dressed for it. He had this long cloak on him. Garment down to the foot. Girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now his head and his hairs were white like wool. Now, if the Song of Solomon was written about the Lord Jesus Christ, then Jesus would have had a dark head of hair and dark eyes. And I think that's what it was. I think the Song of Solomon describes Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is not a blonde, blue-eyed German like you find in so many pictures. I've gone into places with pictures, and he's a blonde. Just hardly anything. No. He was a black-headed Jew with black and dark brown eyes. What's his hair now? White. Why? He's the Ancient of Days. He's not 33 years old again. He's the Ancient of Days. He's got white hair. That white stands for purity, and that white stands for age. In fact, the Bible tells you some of these white-haired men, you ought to bow down to them. Those white hairs mean something. It means that mine didn't turn white, they just turned loose. Such is life. Okay, his head and his hairs were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Have you ever looked at the sun on a bright, sunny day? Can you stand to look at the sun? No way. You can't stand to look at his eyes. As the sun shineth, he's got these piercing eyes. Here's this guy. He's a judge. You know he's a judge from his clothes. He's got a white head and white hair. And his eyes are coming out like the sun in its strength. Wow. You fall dead too. As if they said they feet like unto fine brass. What is brass? What does it stand for? Judgment. Just about anywhere you find it in the scripture, it is going to be talking something about judgment. So it said, you go down, you can see his feet. They're like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. This is the judge. This King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the one who makes decisions. Nobody questions this. Is this not a democracy? Twitter won't count. Like fine brass that they burned in a furnace, voice is the sound of many waters. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls? Anybody? Did you hear it before you got to it? I did. I went up there. I was holding revival meetings in Pennsylvania. And I was two-week meeting. We were in between the 2 weeks on a Saturday. And this preacher said, "You want to, anything you want to see in this country?" I said, "Sure. What you got to see?" He named a bunch of things, and one of them was Niagara Falls. I said, "You mean I'm close enough to Niagara Falls right here?" "Oh, yeah. We can get you there in a couple hours." So Saturday night after the meeting, no, maybe Friday night after the meeting, we took off. And before we got to it, miles before we got to it, because we didn't have air conditioning in cars, you could hear the roar, roar, roar. All that water? Wow. They say Victoria Falls can be heard for miles and miles and miles around. He said that's the way his voice was. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. What's that? That's the word of God. Here's a king. You know how he's going to win? With the word of God. He's not going to win in any other way. He's going to win by the word of God. You ought to pay more attention. And his countenance, that's his face, was as the sun shineth in his strength. You remember when Moses went up and talked to God? He had to wear a cloth before his face. Nobody could look at him. Well, here he is, as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." Now, first of all, I fell at his feet as dead. That was a logical move. I can see myself doing that in that presence. I know. But you know, Jesus tells us a lot of times not to fear. Fear not. Well, John heard him, and he's never afraid in the rest of the book. The rest of the book, this is absolutely beautiful what we're looking at here. But the rest of the book is absolutely horrible. There are things that will just blow your mind when you think about literally taking this literally and what's going to happen on the face of the earth. And bless your heart, I believe I can prove it to you. It's yet to come. It has not already come. Fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Well, I thought old St. Peter had them. Well, what about that? Peter opened the door to the Gentiles, and Peter opened the door to the Jews. He had the keys to the gospel, open door. But now then, who has the keys to death and hell? Jesus Christ. He has the keys. Verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. There's the outline of the book, entire book of Revelation, verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen. That's chapter 1. The things which are. That's the condition of the churches in chapters 2 and 3. And the things that shall be hereafter. Turn over to chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me and said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. It fits too good. That's your outline of the book of Revelation. Put that down. Which you've seen, your vision you've seen, chapter 1. The things which are, the condition of 7 churches in Asia Minor. The things that shall be after, ever after. Everything from chapter 4, verse 1. Is yet to come. It has not